We haven't touched really on time travel yet. Mm-hmm. We've gotten close, and we've kind of scratched the surface. Mm-hmm. And you've talked about teleportation, that maybe in 50 years we'll be able to transport raw materials.
Non-biological.
We will never be able to send that plant, even though we'll probably try.
Oh,
right?
I didn't say never. I say...
Never say never. Wasn't there a movie like that?
We're humans. You know, we'd love that challenge. We'll do it eventually. But, again, it's going to be a lot of time, money, culture, and personal agendas. But we will do it.
What about the machine that has the ability to go back into time or to go forward?
Okay, I'm going to give you a little scenario here.
Yes, Professor.
All right. Let's say we have a computer. The computer is a biocomputer. Okay? The biocomputer has an oscillator in the afterhertz range. Now, we're not saying it's alive, but you will have to probably keep ultraviolet light on the little cube that's the clock and all that, and probably feed it at least once a week with some type of automatic system. Now, this computer has two sections, no different than our left and right brain. The one section is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we're dealing with on the screen. We can see, we can type. The computer's relaying information just like a normal computer, but pretty darn fast. And there's going to need some programming, artificial intelligent programming, that's going to be packet form. The other half of the computer, we tell it to come up with a random number through a random generator. And then every time you do that, take half the time it took to do that and give us another one. And look at your own clock as you do this.
Okay.
All right. So this computer here, half the computer that we're looking at, is monitoring what the other computer is doing. It's sending back the timestamp. It's going faster and faster. Okay. We have a little camera on the top of our computer pointed at us. We tell the computer that's going faster and faster, when you get to zero, or even one quadrillionth of a second ahead in time, take a picture and send it back to us. Will we be there?
I don't know. Will we?
I don't think so. Maybe some of us will.
Where did we go?
Where did we go? We hadn't got there yet. That computer has gone ahead in time by a fraction of a second.
Very fast.
Very fast. And what if we have the capability then to say, okay, just keep on going and get ahead 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes.
1 hour, one day.
1 hour. And send back information. Now, it cannot send back, this is the thing about time travel. You can send back information. You can send back signals. That's why we can send back and travel through time through our frequencies if we have a target to send it to, or we can go ahead if we have a target to send it to. But they have to be looking at us, and we have to be looking at them. In other words, we are like the transmitter on a specific frequency, and you need the receiver on a specific frequency. So they have to be well coordinated and really finely tuned. But it can be done. The problem is getting a computer that can be that fast.
Well, 20 years ago, if they had to anticipate the speed of computers today, they might have thought we were nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 20 years ago, I was still banging on a TRS-80, you know, with a floppy drive, no memory. So, yeah.
I think I had a slide rule myself. Well, that could be happening.
Yep.
That could be happening.
So, yeah, we can go ahead, and we can go behind, but only the information and only the signals themselves.
Could all of this have happened without the computer?
George, let me think on that one.
See, I don't think it could.
I don't think so either. I really don't know. Because we needed something that could think as fast as we can and bring the information in as fast as we need it. And these computers, even today, are pretty slow from what we're going to be required to have in the future.
What is it about speed with a computer or speed with technology that changes ours so much? Speed seems to be an important catalyst here.
It's the transmission of the information.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. If I'm sitting here, it's kind of... I'll do a little experiment here with you.
I'm frustrating your scientific mind. I
Not
love
really.
It.
I have so many things to say.
I love it. I gotcha.
I don't want to get people going, what? let's do a little thing here based on how fast computers can actually operate.
On this program, Jan, they probably know more than both of us.
Okay. As you speak to me, that's the future. I'm in the past waiting for it to happen. I receive the information. I then speak the answer, which is the future to you, and you wait for it to come unto you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So there's a little example of I'm in the future for a moment, you're in the future for a moment.
As simple as it is, that's absolutely true.
Okay. Now let's do this. Ask me what 1 plus 1 is.
What is 1 plus 1? You've said it before I even finished the sentence.
Right. Now, can we deal with that with the human mind? If I was sitting here typing on a computer, and before I even got it typed, the answer would appear.
Is that telepathy? Is that, what is that?
That is the computer already receiving the information and giving me the answer back. Now, in the programming that's going to be coming, hopefully very soon, it's going to be in packet form, okay, to deal with these biocomputers.
Right.
These are the computers. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a mechanical device that thinks like us, acts like us, but is smarter than us. We're always looking for that answer. And if we have a computer that knows the answer, even before we ask the question, we'll buy that in a minute.